Yeah, well, Living Water is one of the best places, I think, to get in touch with our water is in Israel, the Holy Land, and Palestine. For there, freshwater sources are scarce, and one of our own Irish ecologists, Father Sean McDonagh, he would point out that one third of our world today is, I think, water stressed is the term to use, and at the rate we're going, two thirds will be in the near future water stressed. So in such places, water sources that are fresh are scarce, and so you must either trap the water into cisterns, or and they are prone to basically stagnation or becoming stale and contaminated. So people always need a freshwater source, a spring-fed source, living water, to distinguish it. And I was just interested there, like some people who are asthmatic, I think they have a new product that's oxygenated water. It's kind of a water with a certain difference. It's we're all familiar that if you keep a bottled water there in the sun, heat of the day, it'll become insipid and warm and lukewarm. It won't certainly satisfy any thirst. So it's that phrase, living water, water that comes from a flowing source.
And is that a metaphor in a way for Jesus, as from whom you know our life flows or our belief flows?
It is. It is. It is a metaphor for that. I will give you this living water. In the gospel that day, he meets a Samaritan woman, and it's an interesting encounter. It's flowing with dignity, to use the word flowing, and equality, and in a sense, like he has a raging thirst and no buckets, and she has buckets but no answers to the questions of life. And there's a huge warmth and about it. We know little about it. Unfortunately, we seem to have made her into some kind of a seductress of some kind, and we have absolutely no evidence for it. We know she had a five-part kind of serial monogamy, but that could have been, she could have been because of adultery or abandonment or divorce or even death, and for all we know, she could have even been widowed five times, such was mortality. At any rate, Jesus makes absolutely no moral judgment on her. Against her in the story. He doesn't say go and sin no more as he does in another gospel, but she comes to the well alone in the bright light of day, which was exactly the time you would go to avoid people. And I remember growing up, we were one of the few places that had our own private well. I remember well it being bored, and one of the familiar sounds was the engine of the pump starting up when, even in the middle of the night, people would, for their own reasons, come to get draw water, and they, for whatever reason, wish to avoid. And they'd bring their buckets and containers and all that. And I sometimes wonder, you know, as we go to our tap and take out our private water supply, and we've lost that touch of that little familiar, very often green-painted parish pump or village pump that was there. Like our water supply, have we become privatised in our faith? In some ways.
Why do you think the Samaritan woman, did we get any indication about why she was going in the middle of the day? Was she hiding from her neighbours, or had she fallen out with her neighbours or something like that?
Well, listen, here I am, a middle-aged, white, Western European guy, and trying to get inside the head of this. Well, I really don't know, but as I said, we do know that she was a Samaritan woman in Sychar, which is near Nablus. It's no mystery that the Jewish people and the Samaritans to this day are at loggerheads, and even with, and for any person, you would not go to a well at 12 noon. I was actually at that well, I think it's called Jacob's Well, and certainly I was there at 12 noon, and it was not a comfortable place to be.